Hey everyone, and welcome to podcast 4. So that means we're into week 6, which is the first week of unit 2, and that means that the student-led seminars will be kicking off. So that means it's time for you to take on the role of the tutor, and your course tutors are certainly looking forward to taking off their facilitation hats and getting involved as students alongside yourselves. So we'll be looking at topics like widening participation, inclusive curriculum design, Web 2 technologies, and a whole lot more. And it's always interesting to see what imaginative, innovative activities you guys come up with. So this time around on the podcast, we're going to be looking at something that'll be useful to you right now and hopefully way beyond this course. And that is, as we said, the role of the tutor. Before we start properly though, let's have a quick look back at Unit 1 and see how we got here. In our first podcast, I looked at the massively diverse identities of our learners. That included the ways we can meet their needs at an institutional level, as well as the role technology plays in that. Podcast 2 then went way beyond the academic support provision. It looked at how to meet our blended and online students' needs, both from a social and a personal point of view, and that is to give them a more equivalent experience alongside our face-to-face students. And finally, in podcast 3, Karen Campbell and James Blair helped us define the learning community, along with how beneficial they can be to students and working learners alike. Karen and James really helped us understand that an online learning community doesn't flourish by itself. It needs to be hugely nurtured by the tutor. So our guests highlighted that making an online learning community work is something that shouldn't be taken lightly. It requires a whole lot of different aspects, such as organisation, 24/7 technological support, clear parameters, a relevant task, and a willingness to share. The thing is, most students don't fit into that mould that's set by the books, the papers, and the student scenarios. Plus, of course, our higher-ups often don't recognise that online teaching is really teaching and really time-consuming. It's pretty clear that there's still a whole lot of barriers in the way of establishing an effective learning community. To this week's podcast, then, we're going to explore the role of the tutor and the challenges it brings. Our focus is still online and blended, of course, but we'll usually find that whether online or face-to-face, there really is no difference. Well, not much anyway. To start us off, let's quote an old student of ours, one of the first to study on the BOE actually. I wonder if we can find an answer to his question. As a facilitator of learning, how important is my role beyond the initial setting up of the online community and materials? Let's start with DR Garrison and Terry Anderson of Canada's OU. Their book, E-Learning in the 21st Century, is a reminder that the responsibilities of teaching in any context are hugely complex and multifaceted. Teachers are educational designers, they're social facilitators, and just as an afterthought, of course, don't forget being subject matter experts. Nowadays, we have access to a huge array of communication channels, which allow networking on a crazy scale. The global outreach that's possible is pretty mind-boggling. Because of that, it's kind of expected that educators should move towards a more interactive and inquiry-based approach to teaching. Think of the possibilities. We've got synchronous chats linking transatlantic institutions. We see discussion boards hugely widening access. And we've got Web 2 tools empowering all types of students. But as Sally Brown, who was a former chief scientist at Palo Alto, says, with every new piece of technology, to make this technology work, you have to change your teaching practices. Part of it is thinking about how to go from sage in the stage to being a real mentor. So this leads to the rub. Changing teaching practice on top of coming to grips with the technology that's supposed to help takes a lot of time. The heralded anytime, anyplace learning normally sees our work as tutors spiral right out of control. It's interesting to see some stats on that too, and there seems to be a few relevant studies out there. There was a recent one by Rebecca Van de Voort and Coraline Pogue from Washington State Uni in the USA, which looked in real detail at the time commitment over 6 face-to-face courses and 9 fully online courses. To be honest, I wonder a little about comparing across very different subjects, for example, face-to-face psychology versus online physics. But there is a wide enough range in their study, I think, that does give a decent comparison of a teacher's workload on the whole. They actually found that the time commitment was really similar between face-to-face and online, but that assessment was much more onerous in the online space. Students seem to ask for feedback much more often online, and providing that feedback can be very time-consuming. But then, delivery and support aren't really the whole story, are they? Preparation is also a big factor, and here, funnily enough, it seems to be industry that's really doing the investigating rather than academia. Who'd have thought that businesses would be more worried about the time and cost of development than university, huh? One good survey here was run by Carl Kapp and Robin DeFelice. They found that, on average, it took a tutor 43 hours to create 1 hour of stand-up classroom teaching from scratch. In contrast, for the same hour of fully online content, it took 93 hours. And that's for simple non-interactive teaching. For anything more, they were looking at 120 to 150 hours. So that's something like 3 to 4 times more time required for online development. In 2004, JISC put together a senior management briefing on online learning. In it, the authors clearly state that in order for an institution to successfully implement e-learning, staff time and workload must be adjusted to include online course development and delivery. The report concludes with this. Online student support requires more time and it's unrealistic to expect staff to teach online on top of their normal teaching load. Right, there is no difference. It's all real teaching, isn't it? But what is real teaching? On the quest for what real teaching is, we track down what could be thought of as a traditional educational setting, a primary school classroom. There, we spoke to a real teacher, Mrs. Natalie Borrowman, in Edinburgh, about her role.
My role as a teacher in a primary school, I think that it is one of a provider. I provide a learning environment for the children to learn in. I'm a facilitator. So I do feel that I provide the children with the opportunity to develop and expand their learning. I think that I am a motivator. I have to encourage and motivate the children, make them enthusiastic about their learning. I also encourage the children to take ownership of their learning, because if you're motivated and interested and you feel that you're in charge of your learning, then you will actually be a successful learner. I also think that instant feedback is very important, because you need to know where you're going wrong or what you're doing before you can progress. I also see my role, as being an explainer. Sometimes the children need to have the same thing explained in several different ways before they actually understand what it is they've got to do or how they can move on with their learning. And often peers explaining things or rephrasing things helps. And I think that when you get feedback on a piece of work, it allows you to see how you could improve. What else do I see? I see myself as being available for questions. So the children need to have discussions about things and I'm there for discussions. I also think I provide a forum for the children to collaborate together to discuss their learning.
Here's what I took from that. We've got the role of the teacher as provider, facilitator and motivator. We've got students encouraged to take ownership of their own learning. Instant feedback, we've got explaining things in different ways, we've got creating opportunities for learning by teaching one another, and we've got fostering an environment of collaboration for better learning. Does that all sound familiar? It reminds me of our Unit 1 and 2 readers. Not only that, but Natalie's classrooms are kitted up with a whiteboard, a smart board, laptop, PowerPoint displays all around. That's real teaching with technology, if you ask me. This all resonates at a much higher level with Professor Terry Mays. He was an e-learning consultant on Napier's TSET project a few years back and the first year theme advisor to the Scottish Enhancement Themes project. In the December 2007 issue of the project newsletter, Professor Mays advised HNFE institutions to focus their attention on the first year experience. He says that the primary task of this is to encourage and empower students to take more responsibility for directing and regulating their own learning. He also said, we need to exploit the idea that the best way to learn is to teach someone else and to involve students in teaching and supporting each other. Professor Mays goes on to highlight the supportive role technology can play when it's used to empower the learner. And if that all sounds like learners to take more control, you're spot on. One question keeps coming up though, and I wouldn't be surprised if you guys have raised it on this module already. What if learners don't want control? What if they can't be bothered to join an online discussion unless it helps to pass the course? These are really valid questions, no doubt, but when trying to answer them, we also need to ask, what if students don't self-select to study in a blended mode, but they're actually expecting a face-to-face lecture and classroom-based tutorials? Well, despite all of the chat about learner-centeredness, and regardless of how a student is studying, the tutor still is, and always will be, vital to learning experience. It's not only Mrs. Borrowman that thinks so. Online, it's the tutor's instructional design qualities at the start of term that make sure the VLE is accessible and inviting. And then right through the term, it's the tutor's personality and their proactive facilitation that helps to build and maintain a community of learners. It's then the tutor's subject expertise that's key to creating engaging, relevant activities and assessments. And who else is going to spot misunderstandings and skillfully guide the discussions? The tutor needs to interject, motivate, challenge, and all of that at just the right time. And that's not to mention responding to feedback in a way that might require a few changes to how the course runs the next time. So, to answer that common question, your role beyond setting up is a hugely important one. Let's have a listen to Professor Maggie Nicol of QMU as she shares her view on how indispensable tutors are in HE.
The role of the tutor in higher education is, I think, to foster and promote independent learning in students. It's to make them develop a sense of their own autonomy in learning, so that I think the role is a facilitative one, it's a supportive one, and I think sometimes it needs to be a directive one, because sometimes students need to have a direction, particularly when they're new into higher education. So I think it's about recognising the place that the student's at and actually acknowledging that, so that for some it will be very, very facilitative, and for others there will be a higher level of direction.
Accommodating different student needs at various stages of learning is a pretty daunting task, but can be really assisted by technology. Online, we can create chances for synchronous one-to-one tutoring. We can upload assignment details for quick and easy access. We can make it straightforward for students to collaborate and to help each other. While it might take some prep and a bit of work, technology does make our options so much more flexible and powerful than they were 20 years ago. With a bit of creativity, the possibilities are endless. Here's Panos Vlachopoulos, an educational lecturer, to explain a bit more.
In face-to-face teaching and learning, a tutor is someone who is responsible for providing academic support to groups of students or individuals while they are studying a particular course. Now, moving online, I would assume that tutors will still have to fulfill this one role, but without the face-to-face contact with their students. An important question, however, is whether actually an online tutor should fulfill this role by adopting strategies that they are similar to the face-to-face, or he will have to adopt totally new strategies. And I can't see why a face-to-face tutoring and online tutoring should be different. In other words, if a tutor is a good tutor in his classroom, he or she should be a good tutor online. And what is all about? I would say that it's all about creating learning opportunities for students, facilitating the learning and development of the students, and making sure that no student will escape from any teaching or tutoring situation without learning. We can do that face-to-face and online. But online now, tutors, they do have an advantage. And this advantage is the fact that anything that they write and their students write in the online discussions, for example, can be captured and then it can be revisited, can be analyzed, and can be improved. In other words, we have the opportunity now for the tutors to reflect on their own practices, improve their own practices, and make sure that the students, they get something better out of the online discussions.
Panos is a primary school teacher, an HE lecturer, and online moderator all in one. I couldn't agree more that good teaching is good teaching. That's whether it's as a lecturer piloting the use of online technology, or as a seasoned distance educator who's online all the time. The role of the tutor would be marginalised under any one heading. It just encompasses so many responsibilities in a whole range of educational settings. Pailoff and Pratt speak of the tutor as coach and facilitator, but we've also heard today mentor, instructor, director, provider, supporter and guide. That reminds me, what does our own module guide actually say about the role of the tutor? It says, first and foremost, our role as module tutors is to be there with you online, promoting an inviting, collaborative and challenging online learning environment through stimulating activities and creative opportunities for sharing, reflection and critical thought. A long sentence, but the meaning is there. Well, after all that, it's your turn. The student-led seminars will be kicking off very soon, and I know everyone's really looking forward to seeing what you come up with. So enjoy it, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for listening, folks. I hope you got a lot out of today's podcast. Remember, it'd be great to hear from you. Let us know what you think. You can drop a comment on the podcast page at thepodcasthost.com/SBOSE. Please do let us know what you think, and we'll see you on the next episode. So, the role of the teacher as provider, facilitator, motivator. Students encouraged to take ownership of learning, instant feedback, and explaining things in different ways. Creating opportunities for learning by teaching one another, fostering an environment of collaboration for better learning. Sounds familiar? Reminds me of our Unit 1 and 2 readers. And not only that, but it was surprising to see in Natalie's classroom, a real classroom outfitted with whiteboards, smartboard, laptop and PowerPoint displays all around. That's real teaching with technology, if you ask me. And this all resonates at a much higher level with Professor Terry Mays. He's the e-learning consultant on Napier's TSET project from a few years back and a first-year theme advisor to the Scottish Enhancement Themes project. In a contribution to the December 2007 issue of the project newsletter, Professor Mays advises HNFE institutions to focus their attention on the first-year experience. He says that the primary task of this is to encourage and empower students to take more responsibility for directing and regulating their own learning. Secondly, we need to exploit the idea that the best way to learn is to teach someone else and to involve students in teaching and supporting each other. So Professor Mays goes on to highlight the supportive role technology can play when it's used to empower the learner. And if that all sounds like learners are to take more control, you're spot on. We've had the question many times though, and I'd be surprised if you guys haven't raised it in this module already. What if learners don't want to take control? What if they can't be bothered to join an online discussion unless it helps to pass the course? And these are really valid questions, no doubt. But when trying to answer them, we also need to ask, what if students did not self-select to study in a blended mode, but rather they expected face-to-face lectures and classroom-based tutorials? Despite all of the chat about learner-centeredness, and regardless of how a student is studying, the tutor still is, and always will be, essential to the learning experience. And it's not only Mrs. Borrowman that thinks so. Online, it's the tutor's instructional design qualities at the start of the term that make sure the VLE is accessible and inviting. And right through the term, it's the tutor's personality and their proactive facilitation skills that help build and maintain a community of learners. And it's the tutor's subject expertise that's vital to creating engaging, relevant activities and assessment. I mean, who else is going to identify misunderstandings and skillfully guide discussions? The tutor needs to interject, motivate, challenge, and all just at the right time. And that's not to mention responding to feedback in a way that might require a few changes to how the course runs. So to answer that common question, your role beyond setting up is a hugely important one. Let's have a listen to Professor Maggie Nicol this time. She's from Queen Margaret University, and she's going to share with us her view of the indispensable role of the tutor in HE.